Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. Your host, Austin Peterson, is here on the show, ready to talk about all that fun freedom stuff that we get down with every single week at thelibertarianrepublic.com. I just want to say, first of all, thank you very much for being a loyal listener. And if you're a newbie, but you like the content today, when the podcast is over, do me a favor, head over to iTunes and subscribe to us. Or if you don't have iTunes, you can find this podcast on Stitcher, which is the app for your Android-based phones. You can find us on Stitcher, find that on Stitcher.com. Just download that app, or you can find us on iTunes. And if you really like me, folks, if you really like me, do me a favor, go and give me a good review on iTunes, because that helps out Leif Bieberson, Liberty Champion, really big. So I appreciate that. Anyways, let's get to the meat of the topic today. Let's talk about what's happening out there. I saw this awesome article this morning on Reason.com. So I have my favorite website. I love these guys, the libertarians over at Reason. And it's called the Huey P. Newton Gun Club pushes hashtag Black Open Carry to protest police violence. In Texas, blacks are protesting police violence in a particularly southwestern way by invoking their right to open carry. On Wednesday, more than 30 members of the newly formed Huey P. Newton Gun Club gathered to march through South Dallas with rifles, shotguns, and AR-15s. Hell yeah, guys. The group eventually entered a restaurant with their weapons while Dallas police officers were inside eating lunch. Oh, Lord. The recent murders of unarmed black, brown, and whites across the United States of America has eradicated trust in the police, the gun club's website states. Individuals across this nation have been stripped of due process, subjected to state-sponsored police terrorism, and continue to suffer the fate of being terminated extrajudicially. Ain't that right? In Dallas, the police have murdered over 70 unarmed individuals, most of the black and brown men, over the last 10 years. Excluding a recent incident where police testimony was contradicted by surveillance footage, there have been no indictments since 1973. The people who are gunned down and murdered by violent and militarized police forces have formed the Huey P. Newton Gun Club for the specific purpose of self-defense and community policing. Now, this article is by Elizabeth Nolan Brown over at Reason Magazine, and she goes on to write that, she says, note that the only Dallas cop indicted for killing an unarmed civilian was a case with surveillance footage available. More and more, we're seeing why dash cam and body cameras for cops are so crucial. Just yesterday, a 25-year-old man was gunned down by police in St. Louis. The cops said Kajime Powell, who had just stolen two energy drinks from a convenience store and was now pacing out front talking to himself, was coming at them with a knife raised when they shot in self-defense. A cell phone video released today shows otherwise. It shows two St. Louis police officers barely stopping their car before they opened fire on a man with his arms seemingly at his side. We demand the immediate end to police brutality, harassment, and murder of the people, says the Huey P. Newton Gun Club website. We assert the right of the people, particularly those of color, to bear arms and protect themselves where the local, state, and the federal government have historically failed to do so. The hashtag Black Open Carry has been lighting up on Twitter, and the article by Elizabeth Nolan Brown has some excellent photos of the people in the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, and actually a nice little video of them marching. Now, this is sort of a mixed bag here because, you know, there's a lot of different angles to this. You know, obviously you got to say, you know, as a libertarian, hell yeah, go guys, support your opening right, your right to open carry. And when things like this happen around the country, when we have like the shooting of Mike Brown and the other man in St. Louis, you know, it does sort of shine a light on people and their right to self-defense. Now, we're talking about, you know, a situation where we have two men who are allegedly criminals, this guy in St. Louis and Mike Brown, the other guy. Allegedly criminals, right? With the difference being that one of them allegedly had a knife. Mike Brown was unarmed. I think the fact that you're armed does change things when it comes to the on-the-ground response that the police are going to have if they think you've got a weapon. They're probably more legitimized in their use of force. However, you know, if you're a 300-pound man and you ostensibly attack a police officer, then, you know, you would have a right to defend yourself if you think your life is in danger. But, you know, the problem is here is that we have a real problem that the Huey P. Newton Gun Club is addressing, which is the problem of the militarization, the hyper-militarization of the police forces here in the United States. And there have been studies that have shown that the more brutal a response is by police forces, the more a crowd or, you know, like a riot or a group of people are going to get agitated and are willing to escalate the use of violence, the use of force. So it sort of becomes a, you know, a... what's the word when it's an exponential use of force by both sides when one side, you know, displays threats and the other side has to counter it. You know, and the thing is that the way that the police forces respond to a lot of these issues in the United States is to just crack down. You know, I don't know that that's necessary. I don't know that's totally necessary. You know, obviously when people are looting and rioting or burning private property, I think that that is a problem and that there has to be some display of force in order to counteract that. And here's the thing, you know, the best display of force to counteract that was not the police officers. It was the business owners in Ferguson, Missouri, the ones who own their own businesses and own their own guns. And they even had Kevlar jackets, some of these guys. You could see them in photographs, you know, during the days of looting and rioting, where there were business owners who owned their own guns, who were coming out into the streets, who were defending their businesses. And to me, I thought, hell yeah, that is really what it's all about. You know, take responsibility for your private property. And you know what? The looters, the rioters, they didn't touch those businesses because they saw that those guys were armed and you didn't want to screw around with them. And I think that that is sort of, I'm not sure if the Huey P. Newton Gun Club is really reflecting that message. You know, I think they're defending the rights of those business owners to do that, but they seem to sort of be displaying, you know, towards the police, which to me seems like, you know, not the necessarily the proper way to escalate this conflict. You know, and here's a perfect example of what I'd like, why I think that this may be, you know, not, you know, perfectly planned, because the Black Panthers actually in California at the Sacramento State House. Let me try and remember. The Black Panthers actually conducted a open carry march where they had their shotguns, and the Black Panthers stood open carrying on the steps of the Capitol, and these guys were open carrying their rifles and shotguns, but they were publicly displayed. And so I thought that was really interesting because, you know, this was a state capitol march. I'm pulling it up right now. It began shortly after the shooting of Denzi Dowell. East Bay legislator Don Mulford introduced a bill in California to repeal the law that permitted citizens to carry loaded weapons in public places so long as the weapons were openly displayed. What the Mulford law sought to achieve was the elimination of the Black Panther police patrols, and it had been tagged the Black Panther or the Panther Bill by the media. The police patrols have become an integral part of the Black Panther community. Members of the BPP, Black Panther Party, would listen to police calls on a shortwave radio, rush to the scene of the arrest with law books in hand, and inform the person being arrested of their constitutional rights. Well, that's freaking awesome. BPP members also happened to carry loaded weapons, which were publicly displayed, but were careful to stand no closer than 10 feet from the arrest so as not to interfere with the arrest. Very smart. Passage of the Mulford bill would essentially end the Panther police patrols, so the BPP sent a group to Sacramento, California on May 2nd, 1967 to protest. The group carried loaded rifles and shotguns, publicly displayed, and entered the state capitol building to read aloud Executive Mandate No. 1, which was in opposition to the Mulford Bill. They tried to enter the assembly chamber, but were forced out of the public place, where they then read Executive Mandate No. 1 out on the law. The legislature responded by passing the bill, thus creating the Mulford Act, which was signed into law by Governor Ronald Reagan. This step by the Black Panther Party was enough to put them into national prominence and was a stimulus for growth of the party within the young black population. So, you know, here's the thing. You know, obviously, I think that the tactics of the Black Panthers are totally legitimate here. You know, they see a problem in their communities. You know, they're arming themselves and they're acting appropriately, like right here in 1967. You know, I think it probably made a lot of white people uncomfortable that these black people were carrying guns. Well, too damn bad. And here we have Governor Ronald Reagan signing a law which took away Americans' constitutional rights. So, you know, as long as these people weren't acting in a threatening manner, you know, they rushed to the scene of an arrest, they informed the victim of their constitutional rights, they just happened to be open carrying, as is their duly appointed right, you know, that's the way to do things. Unfortunately, these tactics are what forced the legislature to sign a bill. So, here's the thing, you know, and again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate on this. You know, is it the right tactic? Is it the right way to go about things? Without, you know, sometimes you don't always have to express your constitutional right in order to defend it. There are better ways to do it, especially in modern society where, you know, if you show up displaying a gun, you know, a cop may come and shoot you. You know, is dying the best way to, you know, defend your rights? Maybe, you know, if you want to be a martyr, and certainly, you know, there is a place for that. I just, you know, don't necessarily advise it for everyone. But I think that people really need to examine history. You know, you've got to look at this story, for example, the Black Panthers and what they did in 1967, which I totally support their right to do so. And what these blacks are doing in Dallas, Texas is, I think, a fantastic display. But, you know, I have to be honest with myself, and I have to, you know, look, you know, hold myself up to the standards of not being a hypocrite, because I have criticized what I call, you know, white guys, neckbeards, the guys who have gone into the Chipotles, right? And they're carrying their rifles. And they're walking into a restaurant open carrying their long guns. And, you know, they're not just holding them, you know, slung around their waist. There's one guy who looks like this little idiot who's got his gun at low ready walking into a Chipotle. Now, here's the thing. These guys, the Black Panthers here, they're doing the same thing. I don't know if they're open carrying. I don't know if they're holding their rifles at low ready when they walk into a restaurant, which would terrify the hell out of me, and I think anyone. But if they're doing so in such a manner, you know, it seems to have more legitimacy in the sense that this is the topic that's going on right now in the country. They're doing it at the right time. It seems to be the right timing. Whereas the neckbeards, the white dudes who were doing these open carry marches, were just kind of randomly marching into restaurants and holding their rifles at low ready. What I don't know right now, and what I have not seen pictures of, is whether or not these Black Panthers are walking into restaurants with their rifles at low ready. You know, it's never a black and white issue, ladies and gentlemen, which is funny because we're talking about a racial issue here, but it's never really a black and white issue when we deal with these kinds of things. You know, like, I am totally for the right to bear arms, but I'm also for the right to be, I'm also believing that you have to be level-headed when you engage with people about your right to bear arms. I think that the people in the black community right now are outraged at the shootings, which I think they have a right to have an open and full investigation into. But who knows? The shooting may be justified. But still, I want these people to be able to express their Second Amendment rights. And I'm sorry that I can't be a pundit, you know, like Rush Limbaugh or any other guys who are just going to be like, well, this is terrible, and I'm going to take one side of this issue and just say, you know, it's got to be this way or that way, and that's it. No. Ladies and gentlemen, real life is just not that simple. Real life means that you have to break things down on an individual basis and say, what are the facts on the ground? You have to use reason and you have to use logic, because if we don't, then we're never going to really advance these ideas, these common shared principles of liberty, because the common people are never going to be able to accept it because we don't seem reasonable. We seem like a bunch of crazy gun nuts. And, you know, I think that we gain some credibility, libertarians, we would gain some credibility with the black community by supporting them in these open carry protests, which they certainly have every right to do. And I also have to say, you know, Austin, don't be a hypocrite when you're looking at this. You know, you criticize some people for these open carry protests. And I think that there's maybe some room for criticism, perhaps. It depends on, again, on whether or not they're behaving appropriately when they walk into someone else's private property. And that, to me, is an important factor in how you carry your rights. But, again, you have to empathize with the black community. You know, you have to look at it from their point of view. You know, they... you know, whether or not they are oppressed is a matter of debate. And you and I, we can have, you know, you're probably another white dude listening to this podcast. But, and, you know, you and I may agree, well, that there's some institutional oppression and maybe there's some cultural oppression. Maybe there isn't. But if you feel oppressed, if the media is telling you as a, let's say you're, put yourself in their shoes. If you feel you're oppressed, you'll believe it. You know, they did this experiment in the 1960s where this school teacher, she would discriminate against her students. And how she would do it is she would discriminate by talking about the students who have brown eyes and the students who have blue eyes. Go with me here for a moment. And what this experiment did was she, for one day, she would treat all of her students who had brown eyes like they were inferior. She would chastise them. She would treat them like they were stupid. And then the next day, she would do the same thing to the students with blue eyes. And all of a sudden, it was brown-eyed kids who were good, who were awesome, who were the best. And unbelievably, what she found was, as a result of these experiments, was that when students were told that they were inferior, that they were stupid, that they were dumb, that they couldn't succeed, they didn't. They performed less well on tests. They failed at reading and memorization and mathematics. Whereas the students who were told they were great, who were lifted up, those students were found to perform better. And if I were to diagnose it, I would say that maybe that is a large part of the problem here, you know, in the black community. Is it just an issue? It's an issue of self-esteem. Now, you know, again, I know that there's the issue of, you know, institutional racism and oppression and things like that are official, and we can debate that. But what I would like to focus on here is the issue of of self-esteem within the black community. And to me, the issue of this open carry protest in Dallas is a good sign of positive self-esteem. The willingness to defend yourself, to hold dear your rights, and to express publicly your Second Amendment rights, I think is a positive expression. And this is something that should be encouraged. Now, obviously, you aren't going to see a lot of people who are the real racists, the ones who don't like black people. Those people are not going to encourage this. Those are the people who are going to sign the bill in California and stop black people from being able to express their Second Amendment rights. You know, Ronald Reagan, you're a butthead for that one. And, you know, we're going to have to have, I'm going to part ways with my conservative friends on this because I think that there is some problems there. But again, if we're looking at this from a cultural issue, if we're looking at this from a societal issue, these people, whether or not individually they are making this for the right decisions or not, overall are taking their individual liberties and expressing them in a way that I find to be positive. And I think it shows a commitment to those shared, what is it that we all share in the United States? We know we share these principles to individual liberty. And seeing these people, these, you know, maybe they're radical, maybe they're Black Panthers, and maybe you don't like that, but they're expressing their individual rights that we all share. And I don't have to agree with you on other political things. You know, maybe these guys are all socialists, but I don't have to agree with you on all those things to say these are the shared principles. These are the rights that we have, and this is what makes America great. So, to you, the Huey P. Newton gun marchers down there in Texas, I have to salute you and tip my hat and say, let's have this conversation. Let's talk about it some more. Let's discuss the problem of police militarization, which I didn't really get into in this podcast, but it's something that we do talk about quite a bit here at the Libertarian Republic. So if you don't know that, actually check the last couple of podcasts that we've done. We've been talking about the problem of police militarization. I think this is a bipartisan issue. It's something that we need to be discussing as a country. We need to be talking about what we do to arm our police, the type of tactics that police use against their citizens, and we need to talk about what these people are talking about, understanding your constitutional rights. They derive from your natural rights that every individual has. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. I really appreciate it. What did you guys think of this? You know, nice little show, tight format. We're talking about it. We got a lot of good guests on the horizon. And don't forget, guys, if you like the show, leave us a good review over on iTunes and download us on Stitcher. And as always, don't forget to come back every single day to your home for personal freedom and economic liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.